Welcome to the Superhero Lifestyle Podcast, where I, Stephen Summers, sit down with my business partner, Robert Rickey, and we talk about how to become successful online. We also talk about how to sell your own branded products globally and so much more. These are the exact conversations that we have all the time about how to become more successful in business and in life. So hope you enjoy and make sure to check us out on MarketplaceSuperheroes.com if you're not already a member. Let's go. So unfortunate that I see people put their money in to learn how to sell on Amazon, and when they do that, they do very little with the program. We're very fortunate at Marketplace Superheroes that we actually see how many of our members go on to sell because we use our freight service. And of course, this year in 2021, we're going to ship about 8 million unique items, which is really, really cool. But just to say, that's such a big problem when people just don't execute on the thing they're learning on. If you are coming in and learning from us or anybody else, please promise me you're going to be one of the few that actually do the program and get the results that you're looking for. Second thing is not using FBA. If you want to get more information on what FBA is, you can come over to this sell.amazon.com and get lots of information here about becoming an Amazon seller, as well as understanding about the Fulfillment by Amazon program. But just to say, like, if you're going to sell on the platform and you don't use FBA, meaning you don't use Amazon's fulfillment services to sell your products, you're out of your mind. Why? You're going to convert way more browsers into buyers when you have your product available to be shipped by Amazon. Because you see, a lot of customers are Amazon Prime customers now. Therefore, when you use FBA, they're able to get faster shipping on your items because you look and feel pretty much just like Amazon. So do not put the products into your own house and try and ship from home. I would not recommend even a third-party logistics service to sell on Amazon. Use Amazon FBA. Next big mistake, not having a product research strategy. A lot of people are coming in here and they're looking to sell trendy items. They're looking to sell things that are hyper-competitive. If you're going to be successful in this space, I highly recommend you follow the rule of five strategy, which basically just means you've got five products that you sell on Amazon. You sell them in five Amazon countries, and it's actually very simple to do. We've got lots of videos on the channel about that. You're then going to make five sales per product per day per country, and you're going to make an average of $5 net profit, which, as you know, if you go 5 by 5 by 5 by 5, you multiply that up by 30, there's 30 days in an average month, that's $18,750 net profit every single month in your business. And that was just with five items. And all we're looking at is simple, boring, everyday items that we can sell in multiple countries and make a small number of sales at the same time. The mistake, in my opinion, is trying to go the other way, trying to build this huge brand on Amazon where you're in one niche and you're spending so much money trying to compete with hyper-competitive competitors. It's just not something that we do. I highly recommend you look at our strategy. It makes sense for beginners. It's very effective and it's very simple. Next big mistake is using hot lists. What are these? Well, there are lots of different websites out there. They try to tell you hot selling products that you should sell on Amazon. You're going to see stuff like this, you know, sell this elastic exercise band. There's 3.5 million in a year in sales. Pet grooming brush, 3 million. Down here, the grill mats, 2.4 million. And on it goes. These companies are telling you these are things that you quote unquote should sell or should consider selling because these are really big, what I would call, well, they would call hot sellers. And just not a good idea because this is what everybody else is doing when they're starting out on Amazon. They're just being lazy and going to these lists and just saying, yeah, I'll sell compression socks. They're not thinking about it because they're trusting that this random website is telling them what they should or shouldn't sell. We do not produce these types of lists at Marketplace Superheroes simply because we're doing you a disservice. Instead, go back to what I talked about earlier, get a research strategy, then go and learn a research methodology to uncover those types of items, and you're going to be a lot more successful. We actually like to do what we call the iceberg method, which is simple. If you think about an iceberg, and if you look at the very tip of the iceberg, this is what a lot of people are teaching people to sell on Amazon right now. It's the stuff that's really visible, really competitive, overly competitive products. We don't want to go there. The second type of person that I see on YouTube teaching Amazon is in the middle here, where they're teaching you to sell ones that are less competitive. They're not as competitive as the top selling items, but they're still way too visible, way too many people selling them. And in many cases, they're what we call confused markets. It's like, which product do I sell? I have no idea which one to sell because the market's so confused. Think of bent bento boxes as a good example of that. Lots of different bento boxes, lots of different uses. What we like to think about is beneath the surface. These are products that a lot of people are not thinking about, they're not looking at. And these are the ones that we teach you to sell on Amazon. And when you're selling products on Amazon, it's my opinion, you wanna sell beneath the surface type products, but also you gotta be careful that you're not selling the very bottom of the iceberg, because those items just don't have enough demand. And that is the iceberg method, and that's what I recommend for you selling on Amazon. Next thing to be very careful of is selling trendy or trending products. I know a lot of people try to jump on trends on Amazon, and I just don't think it's a good idea, simply because that's what everybody's trying to do when they're being lazy yet again. It's that L word. When you're selling trendy items, yes, you'll make sales for a period of time. You might even make lots of sales, but of course, everybody's jumping into the market and the price is coming down. There's just too much competition. A really good example, if we jump over to Google Trends, if we look at, say, the fidget spinner. Oh, you remember the old fidget spinner. If we search that keyword and we look at it over the last 5 years, this is what a trendy product looks like. It was doing nothing, then it went absolutely crazy, and it lasted for a couple months, and then it was absolutely dead, and it's still dead to this day in 2021. So trendy, trending products, be very, very careful with these. I just don't recommend you do it, but if you are gonna do it, you're not using the marketplace methodology, that's all right, but just be very careful. Next mistake is letting other people choose your products. Now, if you're working with ourselves and we're choosing them for you, that's a different story. I'm talking about what some people are doing right now, which I'll show you. There are people right now jumping over to Fiverr, for example, and they're typing in, like, you know, Amazon product research or something like that. So you can see all these different people, like, I will research winning Amazon FBA product for private label, right? Let's just click into this person. I don't know this person at all. Jungle Scout here, and you can see that they're gonna be doing what everybody else is doing. Now, here's the problem with all of these types of services. The real issue is €21. I'm in Ireland here, which is why that's up at that euro. You know, premium is 60 and you're gonna get two products, hours of researching. Like, I mean, can you really trust someone to build your business at $60? Or €60, whatever the case may be. I just don't think it makes sense. So I'd be very cautious with these types of product research strategies. I will do a separate video in the future where I'll get some of these people to give me back some research and we'll talk about it. But for now, I highly recommend you avoid this unless it's someone that is highly trained in the particular strategy that you're employing. All these different people, they're not employing a particular strategy. They're trying to tell you that something's selling over 10,000 a month with no proof, nothing to back that up whatsoever. I would just keep well away from these types of things. They're not gonna help you out. And can you really trust someone, as I just said, to build your business for $60, €60? No. Next mistake is not looking at patents or patents, depending on where you come from. This is a protection that people have on a design in many cases, as well as a functionality. It's a legal protection, and if you sell a product that is patented, you're gonna be in a lot of trouble. Now, you can go to websites here like uspto.gov, and you can actually search here to find different patents and things like that. And there's actually a search for patents option as well. So I highly recommend you jump over to USPTO, search your particular product on there and see if you can find any active or even some outdated patents as well. Some people think if it's outdated, it's something that they wanna go with. Usually in that case, you wanna take some legal advice just to be sure. We obviously have legal advice for our members. They can email legal@marketplacesuperheroes.com, and Robert Wright and his team will help look at that for you and make sure that you're in the clear. Something I'd be very cautious of. I don't like selling these types of products. And also, just real quick, be really careful if you're using terms like Velcro. You can't use the term Velcro on Amazon because it's actually a copyrighted and trademarked thing. So be very, very cautious of that too, or you will get a warning on Amazon from the owner, and that's just not something you wanna do. So at all times, be cautious of patents, copyrights, trademarks. It's something to be really aware of. A lot of people on YouTube apparently believe you should never sell larger items on Amazon. And the reason that they say you should only sell small and light items is because they likely want to do one of two things. Number one, they want to air freight the products in, meaning that they get them into stock via air, which of course is faster, but it's also a lot less profitable because air freight is a lot more expensive. That's the first reason. And the second reason that they talk about this is simply because they likely don't have a freight partner who's able to help them. Some of these people are storing their products at home and are shipping them into Amazon from their house. If you're working with Marketplace Superheroes, you will know we have our Superhero Freight Service, which enables you to sell any size product. It really doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, I'm not saying don't ever sell small and light items. I'm just saying you can sell all different kinds of sized and weight items when you have a freight partner that you can trust who has a pre-Amazon location where you can store those items. A lot of these other people don't have any of these facilities, and that's why they do not recommend it and they can't recommend it. But the biggest reason is that they're talking about air freighting. And in my opinion, after a lot of experience doing this for 11 years now, air freighting products is fine in the short term if you want to get some items in stock while you put the rest of the items on the water. But it is not going to be a long-term play for you, for me, or for anybody because it's just too expensive. And it really limits the amount of the products you can sell on Amazon, which is not something we want to do because you're cutting off hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of products that are amazing, that if you sold them, you do well with them. But of course, if that's a part of your strategy, you will never sell a larger item. They're gone. Next mistake is not knowing your numbers. We've done lots of videos on this on the channel where we've shown you our tool, our ecosystem tool, our sandbox tool within the ecosystem that really makes it simple to figure out how much money you're gonna make on a product. I'm gonna just show you really quickly what that looks like. This is what the sandbox looks like, and we take into consideration the sales price, the cost price, the size of the product, the weight of the product, how many units you can fit in a box, as well as the duty rate. Don't worry about that too much for now. And this calculates absolutely everything from your referral fees to your FBA per unit fees, shipping fees here via sea, air, and superhero freight. These are two different ones. Don't have time to explain that now. But look at this item here, right? Even on air freight, it's $4.90 at 0.7 kgs to ship this in via air. Whereas these two different options, look at the difference in price. It's absolutely massive. So you have to understand that it's critical. We allow for everything, the different sales tax, etc., and everything in between. And this brings you down below here to your return on investment. And you can see via superhero freight, this example, which is just an example I put together, is massively profitable. You want this number to be 100% ideally. Some people are happy to go with 90%, which means you're growing your initial money by 90%. This one here is grown by 315%, which is really high. But of course, if you didn't know any of this, it would be useless because you're flying absolutely blind and you might have air freighted this in and got a massive bill just because you're a beginner, and that would be awful. So our sandbox is critical. It's better than the Amazon profitability calculator as well because Amazon doesn't allow for importing costs or anything like that. Next mistake is not using 2 to 3 different suppliers. See a lot of people really making this mistake over and over again. They focus on one supplier and they only get samples from one supplier. And what happens? It's not a great product. It's not ideal. And some people stick with the supplier even though they shouldn't. That's one of the big problems. The second thing, of course, is different suppliers could give you better pricing, better terms, better everything. So have 2 to 3 different suppliers ready to go for the product that you're researching on Amazon and actually get samples from all three different suppliers. And when you get those samples, make sure you test them massively. So that was a 2-for-1 there. The first one being using 2 to 3 different suppliers. And the second one, of course, being making sure that you sample your products, pay the money. It's a mistake to avoid that. I've made it many times, so don't do that as well. While we're on the topic of suppliers, ordering too much or too little is something to be aware of as well. So a lot of people, they don't mind ordering too little, but they really don't want to order too much. But in the situation where you're speaking to a supplier and they say to you, that minimum order quantity here is 300 units, let's just say. Well, what happens if that product comes into stock and that starts selling five units a day? That would mean 5 by 30 is 150. Immediately, you're running the risk of running out of stock because it can take as much as 3 months to get into stock when you're shipping from the Far East, or in, well, we would call it the Far East, you may not, from China specifically. The likelihood is gonna be on your first order, you're going to run out simply because you're inexperienced. And also sometimes a product goes really crazy, really quickly. Like again, if you've ordered 300 and if that starts selling 10 or 15 a day, now you're in trouble. So that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin then, of course, is ordering too much. So going way overboard. And I always like to think, well, how much do I think this is gonna sell a day? And I know if you're watching this video and you're a beginner, you might be like, I'm just not sure. Well, think about it, it's 365 days in a year. So if you're ordering 300, you're making basically less than a sale per day on average to sell that out inside a 12-month period of time. And you're saying, well, can I do that? Do I think I can do that? Like, one unit a day is very little, obviously. So the answer is, well, yeah, I feel I can do that. On the other side, though, if someone is saying to you, order 1,000 is your minimum order, and you're looking at that, you're thinking, oh, well, that would mean I'd have to sell, you know, 3 units a day, roughly on average or whatever. Do I think I can do that? Do I want to do that? Do I feel comfortable if the cost price is $4 a unit to have $4,000 of cost price inventory to order? These are all questions that you have to answer for yourself. And again, having a system is incredibly important, which is why within our Ignite program, we teach this at a really good depth, finding the right suppliers, negotiating, etc. And you will know if you've been through that program. We always want to get 60% of the minimum order. That's what we want to try to negotiate to. So if someone says it's 500 units is our minimum order, we want to try and order 300. In that way, it helps us mitigate our risk and also bring in a trial that we can test out in the market and see what happens. And a really double thing on this tip here again is that if you're selling in two different continents, you can split it in two. If you're using Superhero Freight, you could send 200 units to the US and 100 units over to Europe/UK. And that's a nice way of splitting up your inventory as well. So lots of different ways to slice this, but the mistake here is ordering too much or too little. Think about, what could I sell per day? Do I feel I can do it? And also look at how much money you have to invest as well. Next mistake I see is people not using sea freight. You know, I talked about the dangers of air freight earlier on, and seemingly some people do not want to put their stuff on the water on a container which they share, which you would do with Superhero Freight or with a freight forwarder if it's what's called an LCL. I wouldn't recommend doing a full container product straight off the bat. That would be absolutely insane. Just to say, like, if you're not using sea freight, number one, you're not going to make as much profit as you could possibly make by using it. Also, yes, it does take longer, but it is more profitable. And also, I would say when you use sea freight, the items are going to be a lot better, in a lot better condition when they come into stock. Not saying they always get damaged in air freight, for example, but they can, because they've been thrown around by couriers. You see the videos where couriers are throwing stuff around. They don't take care of things particularly well. So for me, sea freight is the absolute best way to do things. You're going to make the most money. It's the most reliable. I would not skip this at all. I would really focus on making this a big part of my strategy, and don't make that mistake. That perfectly brings me on to the next mistake, which is not trademarking your brand. I mentioned in the last mistake, this is something we didn't do in the past, and it was a big error, but also it just wasn't really required many years ago because Amazon was a different place back then. Nowadays, it's required. You can definitely go the route of doing it yourself if you want, but I highly recommend you work with us. If you're part of our program, you can just email legal@marketplacesuperheroes.com. And if you email there, you can talk about trademarking your product, and we can help you through the brand registry process as well, which of course is right over here. So if you go to brandservices.amazon.com, you can learn all about brand registry here. I mentioned the A+ content. That's a huge benefit of this as well. You also can have an Amazon store and stuff like that. And these analytics are absolutely fantastic at the back of a brand. Register brand on Amazon. The big one though here is that you've got brand protection, which basically means if somebody comes onto your listing on Amazon and says, hey, I sell this exact same product, they can list against you on your listing. In other words, they can say, well, I have this, I'm gonna make it available, and it's $22.99, whereas you're selling it for $29.99, as an example. Well, in this case, if they don't sell your exact product, which they cannot because you have a unique buyer code, you also have your own unique trademark brand on that product as a label or on the product itself, you can actually have Amazon take action on your behalf and remove that person from the listing. You have to understand that Amazon owns the listing, you do not, but when your brand registered, you have this relationship with Amazon whereby they're saying, well, I understand you want to be a registered brand, you want to protect yourself and your intellectual property, and we will partner with you and we will work with you to make sure that you are protected, because Amazon at this point is about being professional, it's about offering great products to their customers, and they're happy to help protect you if you put in the work of getting trademarked. Almost at the end now, but let's keep going. The next one is not launching your business globally, only selling on Amazon.com, for example. Nowadays, with Amazon, you can sell in so many different markets at the same time. You do need to know what you're doing before you do that, but I would just tell you, if you're only selling in one continent, for example, you are really only experiencing a small percentage of growth in your business. We actually did an entire case study with a guy called Gary many moons ago, where he was talking about the benefit of selling in Europe Europe and in the US for his Amazon brand. He actually sells more in Europe now than he does in the US, and he only launched there after he learned that process from ourselves. So for you watching this today, get your product into as many countries as possible as early as possible. And again, the key to that is going to be utilizing a service like Superhero Freight, where we can split up your order and send units to different countries on your behalf. And as we wrap up, the next big one is taking profits too early. I don't want you to be thinking about, hey, the minute I get to doing $1,000 per month in profit, I'm gonna take all that off the table. No, you've gotta really treat this like a business. This is something you're going to invest your money in initially to get the ball rolling. And as time goes on then, you're gonna look to utilize other people's money to grow your business. And this makes a lot of sense because if you got something that's working, it's making money, it's proven, you can get a lender to lend you some money to help you grow your business a bit more, free up more capital so that you can sell more different products and have somebody else fund your winning items. As well as that though, as you're getting winning items and you're doing all of this, if you just take all the money out of your business, you're not going to allow things to grow. So I recommend for the first year at least, likely the first 18 months, you don't take any money out of this business. You keep rolling it back in to allow things to scale. As you have products that are selling more and more, you're gonna need all the available capital possible to keep putting it back in, to keep growing and taking advantage of all the growth and scale that you're experiencing. Obviously though, if you're stuck and you have a product that's doing well and you need help, you can use a service like Superhero Capital, which we're introducing, where we can help you fund some of your winning items as well. But anyway, with that said, I hope these mistakes were useful to you today. I hope you learned something. For now, that's it.